Howdy, howdy, and welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast, From Top to Bottom, where we two black gay males in our 40s talk about life from the top of your head to the bottoms of your rusty, dusty, crusty feet. And perhaps by now you've heeded our advice to get some pedicures, but we are not going to bother to confirm that. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Pookie, and always my homeboy in the recording world. And outside of it, Monsieur.
Yes, Dark Boy, yes.
Dark Boy on the scene.
Yes.
How are we today, Dark Boy?
I am good. I actually was sleeping very, very good last night, so I feel rested and relaxed. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine? Okay.
Yeah. What about you?
I am feeling quite lovely this morning, if not a little groggy. I actually had a tough week, just had some stomach issues all week, and came home and fell out for about 14 hours. just woke up and said, I can go back to sleep. And so I'm feeling rested this morning, although I'm still stumbling around a little bit because my body's just like, why were you in bed this long? But overall, doing well. No major complaints. No need to whoop up on anybody. So I'm good.
You always ask if there's somebody that needs to be slapped or whatever.
Yes. And do you have someone this week?
One of my coworkers. So on, I'm trying to think of what day it was. Might have been actually Wednesday. This past week, we had a meeting at work, and they fed us. And my coworker was saying that she didn't like the food. And I asked her, well, where did they get the food from? And it was probably from the cafeteria. She said, it was probably from the cafeteria here at work. And I was like, okay, I guess. I didn't have a problem with it. And then she proceeded to say, well, they have too much ethnic shit at this cafeteria anyway.
Oh, no, that trick didn't.
Yeah, she did. And I said, well, what do you expect? You're in Southern California. And you're not going to get anything. I mean, you're going to get all kind of stuff in Southern California.
Basically.
And yeah. So, I mean, I could have said more, but I didn't because she's a type that would blow up, I guess. So I thought, okay, well, she didn't say much after I said that. So I thought that might have been enough. But I'm like, wow, but, you know. And I mean, I know that she's a Trump supporter. I know it. I mean, so I'm like, okay, well, I guess I shouldn't have expected anything less from her, I guess. So,
yeah, wow.
So she's the one that I would have to slap around this week.
Oh, gosh. That, you know, I'm not even going to go on a white woman tirade today.
You can't, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, there are lots of white women out there in the world that I love to pieces. They're a couple that if they happen to walk in front of a bus that was moving, I would not be
impressed.
Yeah, I'd just be like, well, girl, I know your parents taught you early in life that you're supposed to look both ways before you step out into traffic. You know, survival of the fittest.
yeah.
But I'm not going to go there because, you know, by and large, I do appreciate a lot of my white sisters out there, so. Yeah, but no, this week for me, obviously, speaking of white women, by the time this episode is released, Election Day will have come and gone.
Oh, yes.
and we certainly hope that, you know, the ladies will have released their grip on Svengali's cape and, you know, maybe let our democracy rebalance and kind of block some of the foolishness, but okay.
Or just try to bring it back.
Yeah, it's just woefully out of balance. I think, you know, if you have a reasonable person, you know, heading in the White House, so to speak, and in the other two branches of government are all controlled by the same party, then, you know, you're not too worried. You know, there are going to be some things that may happen that don't reflect, you know, what everybody's feeling, but this has been governance for one person, by one person, by, you know, for a set of a very narrow swath of America, I'll put it that way. clearly, there's not much concern about the rest of us around here. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna let that go. But yes, Election Tuesday will have come and gone. We hope that the returns are ushering a return to sanity as we see it. And, you know, we don't necessarily need this hardcore progressive society. I know that would freak some people out a tremendous amount, but we at least needed to not be the 1940s what it is. Around this bitch anymore.
Either. Yeah, not what it is now, at least.
Yeah, this bullshit is going on right now. So, but okay. But I guess we'll get into the show at this point. Yes. So I believe it is time for you to put a little black on your list.
Yes. So the black list is our list of things we either love or hate. Usually it's top three. So it's my turn this week to do the black list. And so we always do it, three, two, one. And so this week I picked male sports figures as my blacklist. And
now this will be interesting because you are not a sportsman by any stretch.
So. I'm not. So it's kind of weird that I'm the first one bringing it, and you're the sports guy.
Yeah, I'm a sports nut,
but I do have to, like, my blacklist is not based on necessarily how many touchdowns they're scoring or field goals or points or anything like that. It's based on their influence on, their influence on society or just on the world or whatever. So my first, and now there may be other one, again, like Dr. Pookie said, I'm not a big sports person, so there may be other people who may be doing more, who may be doing different than the people that are on my list, but I can only go by what I, the people that I know of. So my number three is Michael Jordan.
Oh my, that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, so I went way back because now he's retired. I mean, he's not playing anymore. But what I like is that he's a millionaire. And so he made all that money, being on the Bulls. And I like because he's donating money to nonprofits. So, I mean, he's not just, because part of me thinks that I do think, and maybe it's wrong, but I do think that if you're black and you're rich, you do have to, you can't just sit up enjoying your money and not do something to help other black people. So you've got to donate. You've got to do something. You can't just sit up and, I mean, yes, enjoy your money, but then you got to help people too. So he's donating to nonprofits, and I just like that. You know, he's doing something, So that's why I picked him, just because, because of that. He's having an influence after he's made his money, after the spotlight's not even on him anymore. He's doing stuff to make people's lives better. So that's why I picked him.
I will have to say that one of the biggest criticisms of him during his career is that he really didn't take a stand on anything social justice oriented. He basically very famously said that Republicans buy tennis shoes as well. Throughout his playing career, he was definitely very silent on a lot of justice issues, and perhaps he always was donating money behind the scenes.
Maybe. I don't know.
He certainly had a lot, but now that he's an owner of a franchise, he's putting some of that money back out there, but we don't know. But yeah, but this is your list, but I thought I'd give you a little context.
No, that's fine. Now, I don't know his politics. I don't know. I don't know if he's Republican or not. I didn't look at that. So he could be. I have no idea.
Okay.
All right. My number two is another retired sports person. This is Magic Johnson.
Good old Magic.
Yes. And he's got the Magic Johnson Foundation, where they're helping educate, because you forget, to me, I forget that he is HIV positive. You know, I remember that big announcement that he made, the big conference, press conference he had to announce that he's HIV positive. You know, in a way, it's almost kind of a non-issue, but you forget that. To me, at least I did, that, oh yeah, this man is HIV positive. Excuse me. And so I like that he's doing stuff with the Magic Johnson Foundation. They're trying to get people educated about HIV, but then they're also trying to help with other things. Like, I thought I saw they're trying to help people with education and getting materials into the schools. So to me, that is a good thing. So it's a sports figure who was very, very good at what he did in sports, and now I think he's using his money and riches he got from that to continue helping other people. And so to me, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what Magic is doing, I mean, certainly he is a model of a post-career businessman, of how it's done. I do believe that the foundation, particularly with his wife Cookie, I think kind of helming it, and I believe she's still the chair of the foundation, or she was definitely one of the visionaries that set the tone. They've done a lot over the years, and they've definitely done a lot in the greater Los Angeles area.
Yes. Again, he was from here, so it kind of, he was on the Lakers, so it does make sense that it's all here, so.
And we will forgive him that talk show that just was tragic.
Oh, I never saw that, so.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, okay. He's. The talk shows, I love Magic, but I'm like, ooh, you should not have, yeah.
All right, my number one is, he's not playing anymore, but not by his choice, I think. So,
yes.
This is, I mean, probably people have figured it out, it's Colin Kaepernick. And just because of how he has brought attention to the police shootings and what black men have to go through. And I think it's forcing people to think. I mean, I think it's one thing for people to sit back and enjoy the sports that, you know, black people are playing in or involved in or help making exciting games or whatever. But then I think a lot of those same people turn their head when it comes to really serious issues, you know, people getting shot or killed or being taken to prison when they, you know, innocent people being taken to prison. So I like that Colin is kind of forcing that. And now you got other people. I mean, I think it's one thing for him to take the knee and all that kind of stuff, but now you got other players that are doing it. I've even heard about a cheerleader did it last week, I think. And then you got Rihanna saying, well, I'm not going to perform at the Super Bowl because of this issue. So I just think he started something and it's grown, and I think more people are becoming aware. And so I just love that. I just think he definitely deserves to be number one. So, you know, he's not playing anymore, but he's left his mark.
I appreciate what he's done simply, and he's taken some hits for it.
Yeah, he has.
I mean, he's basically in his physical prime at this point and cannot get a job. But that Nike money is making up for that. So lost salary. He's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But it is unfortunate that he did have to, that his career was kind of just taken away as a consequence of daring to exercise his First Amendment rights. However, you know, the First Amendment basically says you can say or do, you know, you have the right of free speech, but you don't have the right to avoid consequences. And that goes both ways. For your typical white supremacist that, you know, or who is it now? We got Crosswell Cathy this week, a trifling ass.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. This woman called the police on a black couple that parked their car, I think, an inch or two into crosswalk while they went into a restaurant to get their takeout order. And so she's she's being very much
Crosswalk
that.
Kathy.
Yeah, you know, and I think it may have been last week, but I saw it on Roland Martin Unfiltered this week on YouTube, and I was just getting my holla. I said, wow. And the couple, they're just like videotaping her. The wife is like, I'm not having it with this bitch. And her husband was like, baby, come on. And she's like, no, I'm gonna film this hoe calling the police on us. And I was like, oh my gosh. It was like, you know, so we're starting to reach that point where black folks, particularly black women, are like, I'm not having it. You better leave our men alone, you know, and you better leave our kids alone, and you better leave us alone, period. You know, I don't, there are gonna be some consequences very soon for these folks that are just.
I hope so.
Oh, yeah. They may not be official consequences, but some stuff is coming their way.
Well,
I
just
really.
having her face online, and I'm sure her name, her real name, is going to probably be released at some point because it always seems
Oh,
to come
yeah.
out. So,
Yeah, I mean, people are getting evicted from their apartments. They're
getting
losing their
fired.
jobs. Yeah, I mean, and I imagine, as you know, I guess the average person will say, well, that's a white man, that's a white woman, they can get another job a lot easier than we can. And that may be true, but it's still disruption to their lives and their consequences, and I think they're going to get more steep. Now, kind of going back to your blacklist, though, I
Yeah.
thought that your number three might be LeBron James. Your three, or your two, or your one, frankly. It could have gone either way with LeBron, because he is the best player on the planet right now, and he just opened a school.
You're right. You're right. I
Yeah,
forgot about. Yes.
but I know you're not a sports nut, so you could easily lose track of him.
Well, I did hear about the schooling thing he's doing. So yeah, yes. He could be on the list as well. Maybe not number one, number two, but
Well, that, and also he's clapping back on Trump, you know. He called him a bum, you know. He's just like, you know, he's like, don't know what, he's like, it was an honor to go to the White House before you got there, you bum. You know, I was just like, wow. So, I mean, he's clapping back. And so, yeah, he's definitely kind of leading the charge. I would say he and Kaepernick are leading the charge in our two of our biggest professional sports right now.
Okay. Yeah, good point. I mean, I do know he's doing something with schools or books or something. I did remember hearing about that like 2 month or two ago. So yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. He could have been on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, he opened a new school in Akron, and it's not, I don't think it's a charter school. I think it's either called the Dream School or the Believe School, but it's part of the Akron Unified School District. It's not like a separate charter school, and it's for the students that are living in poverty. And it's providing some really needed services for the kids that are enrolled there, as well as their families. And I think he's also providing college tuition to any of those folks that graduate. So he's doing a lot. He's doing a lot. And I think, you know, he's been able to build that financial base to really provide the things that people need. But this is your blacklist, so I'm gonna shut up about that.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, yeah, I mean, I get it. Makes sense.
You know, because I mean, when you said it, I was like, oh, okay, I know two of the three people already. But I was pleasantly surprised by two of the three. So I said, oh, okay. But yeah, so I don't know. But I guess, did you have any further comments on your list?
Nope, that's it.
No?
That's it.
Okay, well, I guess we can probably slide into our main topic of discussion this week. So for this episode, and also next week, we're going to be really kind of getting into health, and in particular sexual health and well-being. And so we came across some interesting resources out there in the larger world, and said, ooh, these would be good to talk about on the show. So the first one was an article on a website called The Body Pro, And it talked about a recent study that looked at the strategies that black men who have sex with men have put in place to help them remain HIV negative. And the main strategies that were cited in the article and in that study, it was, I think, believe it was in New York City, maybe 800 men or 1,000 men, I can't remember the exact number. But they basically attributed their ability to stay HIV negative to a strong sense of religious and spiritual identity. They talked about social support from family and friends and social engagement with other HIV negative black men who have sex with men in safe spaces. So just the idea of being able to build community. Some other things they talked about were also taking personal agency and asking sexual partners about their HIV status. So the idea of, like, instead of just having sex with somebody because they look good or you're interested, asking them about their status, which is something, it makes sense, but a lot of us don't do it. You just do slide. I don't want to kill the mood asking if you got anything right now, you know. And the last thing they cited was also strategically choosing sexual positioning to reduce risk for HIV transmission. So this might be the whole thing of, you definitely carry more risk of transmission if you're bottoming, particularly without a condom, and you trying that pull out method, which is like, okay, y'all, a lot of us got here via the pull out method, but I'm gonna leave that alone. So we know that shit don't work. But or it's hardly foolproof. But also just if I'm out and about, or like if I'm going to the circuit party, I'm only going to be topping, or I'm only going to be doing oral, or this or that. I'm not letting anyone fuck me, that kind of thing. And so, yeah. So, what were your thoughts about that? Because this was, yeah. I mean, this is in light of that study that said that, 50% of us within our lifetime are going to become HIV positive.
I've heard that a couple of times, and so when I saw it in this article, it didn't surprise me. But there is one thing that, to me, that puzzled me in this. And when I talked about the religious and spiritual, what I w wish they had gone into that more, because what does that mean? I mean, how is that preventing them from becoming HIV positive?
Well, short of reading the actual study itself, where I imagine they do define that more clearly, I would say that when you have a religious and spiritual connection with the larger community, as long as that community is affirming, and it's not like, oh, well, the black church, we could go there for hours. And there are some congregations that are full of black, gay, bi, sexually fluid men that are not really supported. They're kind of demonized. Or it's not talked about. It's don't ask, don't tell. But we all know the pastor is taking dick and, in the back, and the music director is on his knees on, blah blah blah, all these jokes that we often hear. But in those environments where your sexual orientation is kind of a poorly kept secret and no one talks about it, I don't know if being in that environment and being all that committed is really the most helpful and affirmative way, or the most supportive way for you to remain HIV negative, because I think it breeds a lot of shame around what's very natural impulses for you. I don't see why the guy in the pew next to you gets to eat pussy because he's, and it's all okay. But when you want to eat some ass or suck some dick, it's a problem. That I think that's just not very healthy, because anytime you add the stigma of that kind of thing, or the shame, or any internalized embarrassment about your very natural desires and drives, that really kind of cuts at your self-esteem. And when your self-esteem is down, you're more open to depression, which means you're more apt to do things that you wouldn't normally do. It's like self-medicating, except with finding some peace and joy at the bottom of a bottle. You might find it at the end of an uncovered penis. that's just flooding your guts with all sorts of things that may or may not be dangerous for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's Russian roulette.
Yeah. Well, of all the things that they listed about how people are preventing, or the strategies that these guys use to stay HIV negative, that was the one, the religious one was like, it didn't make sense. Because, I mean, I get it. If you're only topping at certain times, or you're using condoms all the time, or you are maybe more selective in who you're having sex with, all that stuff I got. But the religious part kind of threw me. But because to me, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't it be, I think more times than not, isn't it making people go DL because they don't want to come out, and going DL is what makes you, it's adding to people becoming positive because you're just trying to do what you need to do and you're not worried about condoms, you're not worried about whether they're HIV positive or not. So to me, I don't know, that part I didn't quite get.
Yeah, and I think I probably didn't finish my point. I pointed out the negative side of it, like you were just saying, like all that stuff will make you act a fool. But
yeah,
I think about, like, in the church that I attend, it's very affirmative to me as a Black gay man. So I feel a stronger sense of self and a stronger sense of self-worth, or at least it's bolstered in that environment as opposed to it being chipped away at. It's kind of reinforced. So if I'm feeling better about myself, I'm gonna be more apt to ask this guy, be like, I know you look good, but what you got, what's your sexual history? You know, I use condoms, right? You know, this kind of thing, and I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, you're not tying me up, you know, all these different things that could be considered more risky, especially if, you know, you allow yourself to be tied up, and then your expectation is that a person was going to be engaging in safer behaviors with you, and they actually decide to just raw dog you because you can't do anything about it because you're tied
exactly
up.
Yeah.
You know, so it's this whole idea of, if you have a greater sense of self that might be reinforced by your religious or spiritual community, you're more likely to be more conscious and conscientious about the ways you go about protecting yourself. And just also having that agency to say, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what I'm not willing to do. As opposed to going with the flow and hoping it turns out okay, or being... I think about, there was this video that I just came across the other day of this this guy, and maybe this is part of their sexual scene together, where I think the title of it was something about doing it for daddy, or dick time for daddy, or something like that. And it was, you know, he was a plus size man, and he had on some red lingerie.
Oh my
so
God.
It was like a bra and panty set, and I was like, ooh, that's not a good fit for you. But it made me think about this. There was some, I don't know if I read it in a book or it was an interview, but they were talking about, you know, a group of men. Oh, it was the larger men that will have sex, really what they were calling desperate sex with men. Wherein they feminize themselves, where they might wear a wig, or they might wear a wig or women's clothing, because that's the only way these men would be turned on by them, either because they were plus size or because they were a man. You know, so they were doing things that kind of really put themselves in a very quote-unquote shameful or embarrassing or emasculating situation just for the sake of having intimacy with someone.
Wow.
And I saw this and I just said, ooh, that is exactly what they were talking about. Now, it's possible that this was part of this couple's thing. Like, this was not exploitative. This is like, no, he likes women's clothing and it turns him on, and he likes to, you know, to suck on daddy's dick. And but it was just, it just struck me, like, it really hit me right in that space. And I said, oh my gosh. And I just, I thought to myself, like, what else is going on there? Are you okay? Just, it was a lot. It just kind of led me on this train of thought. And I just said, okay, you're doing too much here, sir. This is not really directly your business. So I can't stand in judgment of what's happening between these two men. But it definitely struck me as just like, ooh, I hope that's okay for both of them, particularly the gentleman in the red bra and panty set that you could barely see because he was pretty good size, and you know, his humps and bumps kind of obscured the bra. It looked like just like a red string around his upper body. That's what it looked like. I mean, he had folded over on it. I said, "All right now," you know. And he was working at Dick now. It was like, okay. I mean, it was a hot little scene, but I was just like, "Ooh, okay. Is this problematic? Only if it is for either of them, then yeah, I guess it's problematic. If not, then hey, enjoy." So, I think it's that kind of thing, where if you don't feel loved, you don't feel belong somewhere, then you are more apt to take more risks. You are more apt to care less about yourself. So I think when they talk about religious and spiritual community, they're talking about that as a source of pride and a source of strength for you. Because I think most people go to church to get whatever they need to get through the week ahead.
Okay, I mean,
And you hope that it's feeding you instead of starving you.
well, yeah.
Or sitting there with a bucket full of chicken wings dancing in front of your face, like, you can't have none. These are good, though. But you can't have none. You know, you be sucking dick. You can't have no wings. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm tripping, but okay.
No, that's okay. I was just that was the one part. Like I said, that was the one part that just seemed odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, the church can be a source of great good in a lot of people's lives, but it can also be a source of considerable trauma in others. And I think as a collective body, our churches, our congregations, our faith-based organizations have to really own up to that and start reconciling and making that right for a lot of people. But okay.
And what about the other thing that kind of stood out to me, which it mentioned that the guys that remained HIV negative, they didn't. I thought I saw a word said they didn't go to bathhouses. Again, no shame or anything against people who do, but I just who go.
Well, I look at the bathhouse part of it. I recognize that you're still just having sex with people. So that same person you could be having sex in the bathhouse with, they could be someone you pick up at a bar. It could be someone, hell, that you've been dating for the last 6 months. I think there's a little bit of stigma attached to the bathhouse environment, but the reality is you're still having sex with other people. But I do think that in bathhouses, it's you do have a bit more permissiveness, and it's easier to find your tribe of people that are maybe not practicing consistent, safer sex habits. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, and that's why it stood out. Because again, I've never been to one, so I don't know. I don't know. Based on what you just described, I imagine okay, it's a little bit more. There's less restrictions. That's how I'll put it there. At least that's how I picture it.
Well, I think before, like once upon a time, obviously in the pre-condom era, so to speak,
It was
you know,
wild,
it
I
was, yeah, it
imagine.
was just, yeah, I mean, it just was what it was. And it wasn't all that different from any place else, except the men were right there in a towel or a knot. And if you liked it, you grabbed it and you work with it. Nowadays, in most of the bathhouses and the private sex clubs and the like, you do have. Although I don't know, I haven't been to one in the last 3, 4 years. I think the last time I went was with a colleague just doing some observational work and passing out condoms as part of, you know, HIV prevention, STD prevention program. And so
Okay.
they had signs up saying, you know, people that are caught doing drugs, people that are caught having sex without condoms will be 86 from all the clubs. You know, like that are all owned by this network. Because this one, I think it was the Midtown Spa in downtown LA, and they have 8 or 9 clubs around the country. So if you got caught, you were 86 from not only LA, but Denver, and I think Cleveland has one. You know, all these different nationally, you're out. Because you know, they scan your license to come in.
Oh,
You have
okay.
to have a license. Yeah, so.
Because it's like, how can they keep somebody out? But okay, that makes
Oh,
sense.
yeah.
See, I'm totally clueless about how they work, so.
Yeah, license is required. And, you know, and so it was interesting. So I said, okay. And I remember saying to my colleague, like, is this a new thing? Because I don't remember ever seeing anything like this in other places around the country that I've been in. And he was like, yeah, he's like, this is part of the policy and the partnership with us, that they're basically trying to let people know we can't prevent you from doing things, but you may not give public exhibitions and shows. Because, in a bathhouse, you're going to encounter everybody, including exhibitionists and voyeurs, and they're going to be giving a little show. And you don't, as the ownership of a space, you don't want to be known as a place where, hey, we're a disease vector. We allow people to come in here and raw dog and, be loading and felching and all this stuff. And if you want to catch you something, or
Here's a
you
place to
know,
go.
come on through here, because then you're going to scare off the majority of men who are not HIV positive, who do not want that environment, because it comes down to money. For them as a business, it comes down to money. You
Well, yeah, you're right.
cannot, yeah, you can't earn this reputation as being the place, oh, if you want to catch the bug, this is where you go. It's
Yeah.
like, no, we know that's a possibility, but it doesn't need to be confirmed. And so people will, they'll hit spots and do their thing, or they'll go to private parties, which is much more prevalent now. The bathhouses, I imagine, they have to be dying off because,
That's what I'm thinking too.
yeah, the moratorium on drug use and things like that. It's like, 'cause if you look high, they're putting you out. The monitors that work in a place, because I remember talking to a couple of them, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to put people out, but if you are clearly fucked up, you got to go. And it's interesting. It's a very interesting dynamic. Yeah, I know we kind of got off on a little
No,
tangent,
no, no. You
but
know what? And I want to say that the thing about the I think I was reading another article, in preparation for this episode. So I think the other article might have mentioned the bathhouse thing. So maybe not
More
the
than
one, the
likely.
particular one that we were talking about, or
Yeah,
that you
because
had
I.
emailed for this episode.
Yeah, because there's so many articles to choose from, frankly. It's
Yeah, so
like.
it might not have been this one. I don't think, and looking over it now, I don't think it was the same one. It must have been a different one.
Yeah,
But it
but
was
it.
mentioned as a thing, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And I think because it's mentioned or referenced, because it can be a risk factor, not so much inherently risky, but because of what it makes available to you, where you have access to a lot more partners in a much shorter period of time.
All concentrated in one area,
Yep.
basically.
And there may be a thing of, maybe when you're still not so horned up, and maybe you're sober, you are like, no, I only fuck with condoms. And then once you've sampled the first piece of ass or the first dick, and you all horned up, and somebody's like, ooh, and you're giving a public show, the next guy might roll up on you and just swap in,
Oh, yeah.
and he's not using anything. And all of a sudden, your policy is now blown
Out
out of the
the
water.
door, yeah.
Yeah, and that guy may be negative. He may have syphilis. He may have herpes. You just don't know. And I mean, it's, yeah, because I think this whole idea of this question of, what strategies do you put in play to safeguard, your sexual health and well-being? It's like, what are your rules? How do you play? Do you play? It's like, do you have to have a couple of dates first before you get down? Or are you smashing on the first date? Hell, if the date picks you up from your place, do you smash before you even come out the house, and then you go have dinner? Do you need to work up a hunger before you actually go out on the quote unquote date? How does it work for you? I think in thinking about this as a overall conversation, I think it's important for folks to understand where do they lie? Where do they fall on this? Are you a condoms person? Are you a prep person? Are you a prep and condoms person? Are you a one-on-one person? Are you okay with a group? Do you like an orgy? If you go to an orgy, how do you, what are your deal breakers? What are your
Yeah.
non-negotiables?
So that's with an orgy, because then it's like, well, you need to know the other people's, what their, I want to say their rules, but their, I guess, their practices or whatever, because you may want to be using condoms all the time and they may not. Somebody else as part of the orgy may not want to use a condom. So then it's like, okay, well, then that might be a deal breaker for some.
And I think the big thing is, you can ask a person, how do you get down? Are you positive? Are you reactive to any sort of things? And they all is what they tell you. So I think if I were to have a take-home message, because we're nearing that point where we need to move on, which seems like we barely got into the topic,
Right.
but it's all about what you yourself do. You can't control what other people are doing. You can't control what they have done in the past. All you can control is what you are going to do in the now. And so I would encourage anyone out there, young and old, because stuff changes over our lifespan, consider what is acceptable risk to you. Consider what it is you really want in your sex life. What do you want it to look like? Do you want it to be a smorgasbord, or do you really want it to be something that's a little more intimate, a little more one-on-one, a little more quote-unquote meaningful for you in that regard? What do you want? What's on the menu for you? I think a lot of us don't think about that. We just go out there and we just kind of see what happens. And then we're just like, oh my God, I don't know how this happened to me. And it's like, child, because you didn't plan for it not to.
Right.
It's very much like this. I don't know if it was MLK or Malcolm X had said, a man who doesn't know what he stands for will fall for anything or die for anything.
Yeah, we've heard that.
Yeah, I probably butchered the quote, but y'all get the gist. It's the
Yes,
gist.
yes.
If you don't know who you are and what you stand for and what you will and will not do, you will do anything that someone else suggests under the right circumstances. So you really need to be aware of that and really take control of your body and your sex life, because it's yours. If shit gets fucked up, ain't nobody dealing with it but you. So please keep that in mind. It's no one else's problem but yours. But I don't know. I've gone on yet another
No,
monologue and diatribe. So, did you have any closing thoughts for us on this one, Darkwood, before we move into the next stage?
the only thing I can think of is maybe it is, I guess, prevention, I mean, prevention education. I don't, I mean, and this is, because for me, I think when I first heard about HIV, I think I just, I mean, I knew, and back when I've heard it, people were still dying from it. And so I just want, I don't know if, I don't really know what the education or prevention education is like anymore. I don't know. I mean, I, because back when I heard it, so I mean, I still have this, kind of the same things, like, well, you avoid it, you save sex. There was no prep involved in, back when I first heard about HIV. So I don't, are they, I don't know if it's, a big, I guess I hear it now, so I guess it is part of the prevention now. Are they still telling people use condoms and take PrEP? Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for some people,
But not everybody's doing that, though. I think some people are just taking PrEP, but not, they're giving up the condoms.
Correct. Okay. I think for some people, I mean, and the thing is, they don't, a lot of opponents of PrEP have been really upset because they feel like if that message, you know, gets out there in the community and people are like, oh, I can just take a pill and not contract HIV, then they're going to stop using condoms.
And then other diseases are going to
exactly spread. And so you're going to have this recurrence. You know, I think syphilis was making a comeback a couple of years ago, pretty strong, at least in LA County.
Yeah, I remember hearing about that. I don't think it was just here, though. I think it was, you know.
It was everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely saw things and read it about L.A. County, though. And then you had, was it gonorrhea, maybe?
Yeah, there's a gonorrhea out there now that I don't know if it's treatable.
Yeah, it's drug resistant by and large.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's the nightmare scenario. It's like, okay, HIV is largely a manageable chronic disease at this point, or chronic condition. It's not the death sentence that it was in the 80s. However, it does make your body more susceptible to other things. The medications are not perfect. They have side effects. You know, we still don't know what some of these meds are doing to our bodies long term.
Yeah, see, that's my thing.
Yeah, they talked about like Truvada and bone density. I remember seeing that at some point.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, and
so you know, are you going to get osteoporosis? You know,
quite early? Possibly.
You know, mm-hmm. I don't know. For me personally, I think the idea of a pill. Well, if there's a way for me to prevent something from happening without taking a chemical. That would be my preference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I mean, if it's working and if it's slowing it down, I get it. I just wish people would, I guess, keep using the condoms and PrEP at the same time. I mean, I get the thing with not wanting to use the condoms.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole subpopulation of men out there that never used them.
Oh, I know that. I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, and they're just, and it's not, and people like to think, oh, yeah, they hoes, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, these are actually highly intelligent, successful, accomplished men. There are some, you know, some folks that are maybe not in those categories as well, and they may be sex workers, they may not be, but there are just men out there that have never used condoms, or they used them a couple of times. I don't like them. I'll just zero sort. I'll be careful. I'll cultivate my group of people that I have sex with, and that's who I have sex with. You know, it's like I have, you know, people I would consider friends that they're just like, yeah, I don't use condoms. And I'm just like, wow, okay, so emotionally, how you know, like I'm just automatically like, for me, I was raised to use them, and I use them. I'm intrigued by PrEP, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't know what PrEP is going to do to me. I got enough problems.
Especially if there's another way to help prevent, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just, yeah, it is fascinating, but I do think that, you know, we had the rise of the Truvada whore, as they were calling it. you know, the Truvada party bottoms and all that stuff. I'm like, guys, come on, that's just awful. And if someone is, you know, if they're on PrEP and they're, you know, and they are the centerpiece in a gangbang, it's unfortunate in some regard, I'm sure. But if they're okay with it, you don't participate in it. That's all you have to say about it. It's not for me. You can't just demonize people, because I think that makes it even worse for folks that you're chipping away at their self-esteem, because then they're possibly, or they're more at risk to engage in even more riskier behaviors. So I don't know. I think it's, but I guess the question really is, as a community, how can we support one another without being too judgy? If that makes any sense, like how can we support the people that we know and that we love, even though they're engaging in behaviors that may compromise their health. Because if you love them, of course you give a damn. I think about a couple of friends of mine that, you know, that have, one is seroconverted, the other still has not, to my knowledge. And even the one who did, it wasn't necessarily because of sex. It was drug use.
Drugs,
and
yeah.
Just, yeah. And, you know, and that friend said, he's like, as soon as I did it, I was like, what the fuck did I just do? And I just, you know, and I just said, so you, and he's like, yeah, he's like, I knew. He's like, as soon as I did it, I was like, oh my gosh, I hope, you know, and he just, and his hope wasn't answered. At least that's
so that
the
one
most,
time, that one
know,
time he just,
yeah, he
did
just
something
was,
in, wow.
Yeah, he got, you know, he got the syringes mixed up and I just said, oh my gosh. You know, and it's like, so what do you, as a person who's being, you know, that's who's receiving this information, you can't be, it can't be about you at that point. It has to be about supporting, your, you know, the person communicating and sharing this with you. Because if you respond the wrong way, they're never talking to you about anything else like this again. And there could be a whole lot more they have to tell you.
See, okay, so... Okay, so the way I know we're running on short on time.
Yes.
But in a situation like that where you're it's drugs or you're sharing needles or anything or like that,
mm-hmm.
PrEP is not going to help you, right?
No.
Yeah, because well, it's like a direct thing, right? I mean, it's
No. PrEP will still help.
It will?
Yeah, because okay. I mean, exposure is exposure. Obviously, IV drug use is a very effective way of transmitting.
Yeah.
The virus, but it's still, but PrEP actually withholds a protein that the virus needs to replicate. So even though your body is exposed to it, and it's a pretty full-on frontal assault, it doesn't mean you're going to seroconvert.
Okay.
Because it still doesn't have your body, or your body is withholding from the virus what it needs to actually take hold and duplicate itself. So, yeah, I mean... injecting frightens me personally. I'm just like, ooh.
Well, to me, in my mind, I picture that just being like super hardcore, you're going to get it. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
But you just said it doesn't, so no. I guess not.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I think in the case of, you know, of my friend who I assume was not on PrEP when this happened, it was a pretty much a done deal. At that point, life changed a little bit, but it also goes on. So knowing what we know about how our minds work and how sex impacts us and how a sense of community and support and self-worth impacts us, I think the most important thing we can do to help to manage this, you know, the progression of HIV is that we be much more supportive and accepting of one another. That we not be so quick to call somebody a hoe.
Or a thought.
Or a friend of ours. Yeah, and a thought and all these. Unless it's understood that it's not a malicious thing for you. Because like, I call a lot of my friends hoes. I call myself a hoe. You know, and it's like, I'm not out there doing all that. It's just, to me, it's a pronoun. You know, maybe not the best pronoun to use, but it's just how I talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's my fault. I am my father's child. And so... And he was good at that. I grew up listening to that, so that's just how I talk. But I also know not to just randomly call people names like that, which are very sex negative. And I do think that sex positivity is a good way to go in helping to prevent people, more people contracting STDs and STIs.
Yeah.
Yeah, because... everyone's hiding out and everything is secret. If they know you're going to look down your nose at them, they're not going to tell you stuff. They're going to be much more secretive. And when people do stuff in the dark, they can't see everything. They can't see all the risks coming for them. So.
Yeah. Hey, so I have to take back something. So
yes.
The bathhouse thing is in this article. So I'll read this.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. One strategy participants reported using when looking for sexual partners was avoiding bathhouses and social venues where gay men frequent. In choosing sexual partners, some men carefully screened online profiles and avoided potential partners who use drugs. So, some
One of my strategies.
Yeah, some always carry condoms. They took PrEP and restricted their drug use. So, just, yeah, so it was there. I did see it. I just thought it might have been in a different article. But, yeah, okay, so it's just. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, okay, I think I just missed that part of the article or forgot about it. Because, you know, as you say, there are lots of things we read before this show.
Yeah. So, yeah. I was like, okay, was it this one? Maybe it was another one. I mean, I'm mixing them all together. So.
Okay.
All right. I mean, that's all I had to say.
Okay. Well, I guess a sister has a question for her bristas.
Yeah.
Can you provide us with a woman's name? She's anonymous.
Angela.
Angela. Okay. Yeah. So Angela said her and this guy have been best friends for about 2 years. And they're always texting and talking with each other. And they do anything for each other. And, you know, he even helped her to get a really cool, when she said, oh, okay, a referral to an artist she had been trying to get an interview with for years.
Okay, an artist?
So, an artist, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so I'm guessing Angela's probably a journalist or maybe a blogger or something along those lines. So she was able to score a dream interview thanks to her friend. So she says here, the other day, what in the world? Okay, now I get it. I was just like, what? This is a regional thing, clearly. Okay, so she said he actually, as she put it, lettered his truck, but didn't tell her about it. And by letter, it means like put like a decal on the side of his truck.
Okay.
And it was her nickname.
Oh.
And apparently where she's from, that's typically what they do with their wives' names. So she wants to know, what does this mean? Like, does he like her beyond friends? I'm like, ooh, girl, I'm not from that part of the country where they do that.
Yeah.
it's like, but, you know, what are your thoughts on that? So basically, they've been good friends for a number of years, always talking and texting, would do anything for one another. He even helped her to get her to score a dream interview with an artist that she was really excited about. But then she found out that he basically had her name put, or her nickname put on the side of his truck, which where they are is something that men usually do in honor of their wives. So she wants to know what is going on. Does that mean he really likes her, like likes her? Or is that just a way of him saying, this is my homegirl? Like, what do you think that means?
Well, without knowing either one of them, it's going to be hard for me to be, well, for me to be right, I guess. Obviously, I mean, he likes her. They're not having sex, I'm assuming. It doesn't sound like she said that.
No, she didn't. Yeah, she didn't cop to that, so I'm guessing they're not.
Yeah, so I'm going to assume that they're not. I don't know if they... I mean, again, obviously he likes her. Otherwise, I don't think he would have done it. He would have put he would have put her nickname on his truck. I don't think he would have helped her get that interview that she was excited about. I mean, he may just being a nice guy. The thing on the truck though is what, I mean, she is going to have to ask him. Straight up.
That's my advice.
Yeah, because. I mean, if they were having sex, then I would be like, okay, well, maybe, you know, he wants it to be more than what they have, you know, either marriage or a commitment or whatever. But we don't know that part. So to me that's a missing detail that, you know, would help. But I mean, I think I say this all the time. You've got to ask this person. You have to ask them. You know, I mean, I can assume he doesn't have a girlfriend, because then the girlfriend's name you would think would be on the truck, not Angela's. So, and I mean, did Angela say that she wants more with this guy? Did she say that?
She didn't say that. It seems to me that she sees them as
she might be open to it, though. If she's,
I don't. Well,
to me, if she didn't, if she wasn't open to it, she says, "Well, I think she would have said that." Mm-hmm. She would have said, "Well, he put his name, put my name, on his truck, and I don't want a relationship. I don't know what to do, or I don't know how to tell." I think she would be saying something like that. So she might be. I can only assume. I'm just jumping to conclusions here. So she might be open to it.
Yeah, this is why we got to set up. This is why we have to set up a phone line for this show. Because we have questions when we get letters like this. We're like, girl.
Yeah.
I agree with you. The first thing she has to do, if you guys are as close of friends as you believe you are, you need to ask him, like, what's that about? And it's possible, yeah, he does like you in that way. You have to decide whether you like him that way and whether you're okay with the relationship possibly evolving that way. But I would also say to you that it's possible that you are, in many respects, his ideal woman. He just doesn't have that romantic attraction to you. And he wants to name his truck after you, because a lot of people are going to see that and just assume that's the name of the truck. But actually, folks that are outside of the community would see that.
But then why do that, though? But why have people assume it, though, if it's not?
That's
the confusing part.
Well, yeah, because I obviously around town, if people know her nickname that he uses, then they're like, oh, y'all are a couple.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But she does have to ask him, though.
Yeah, you just need to ask him, girl. And then if you're interested, go for it. If you're not, you know, then you have to decide whether you're comfortable with your name being on the side of his truck. Probably not. But yeah, this is interesting. I've never heard of lettering of a truck before, so
I haven't either.
Yeah, I mean, I often think of it like, if I were, and I mean, the thing is, for me, if I were to see it, I would think, oh, that's the name of his truck. Like, I wouldn't think it would have anything with do with a girlfriend or a wife, because I would have to think she'd be a little, maybe not jealous, but a little put out that you're gonna have my name on that. You know, it's just, yeah, I mean, some wives and girlfriends are they see a vehicle or a boat or something as the other woman, and they are not having it. So it's just like, I feel like, you better not name that heifer. I'm the only woman, you know. So yeah. Yeah. Angie, girl, talk to your friend. That's your friend. You should be able to talk with him. Ask him what's going on with that. And if he says to you, you know, every time I think you, I smile and it's just reliable. You're always there for me like my truck. Oh, I'm going to put your name on my truck.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, but then say to him, you know, okay, that's so cool, but understand how everyone else is going to see that. And if they know my nickname, they gonna think you my man, and then you cock blocking, and I'm not happy about that.
Yeah. So that's what I was gonna say. It gets complicated, because let's say she doesn't want to be with him and she is already interested in somebody else, having her name on this other guy's truck, it gets complicated. Yeah. So I mean, She does have to have a talk with him. It, you know, either way, if she doesn't want her name on there, or if she does and she wants, either way, you're going to have to talk to him.
Yeah, Angie, we don't have firm answers for you other than you need to ask him. And, you know, we definitely wish you the best with this one. It sounds like you guys have a great friendship, and you may want to let him know that he's compromising it in some way.
He could be.
So, yeah. You know, let him know this might be a non-negotiable for you. It's not okay.
Yeah. Especially if she does not want to be with him, with this guy. It's going to complicate any relationship she has.
Yeah.
Having her name on someone else's truck. Just tug on his wig a little bit.
He'll be all right.
Yeah.
He just needs to know he went too far. You appreciate his enthusiasm For the wonderful splendor that is you, however, that is something reserved for his lady, and you are not her. Therefore, take your name off the side of that truck.
Well, only she wants that, though.
She might want it. Yeah. And you know, if that's a man you want to ride and climb, then damn it, you ride and climb him. You have gotten an embossed, platinum-tinged invitation. Go get that. That's all yours. All you got to do is smile at him the right way. But you know, if you wild, don't wear no panties. Just go on over there. That's why I cannot be allowed to have a daughter, because she would just be off the chain. But yeah. So, okay.
All right. That's all I have for Miss Angela.
All right. So I think that concludes this episode. So we definitely want to let you know that we are part of the Pods by QPOC family. That is a .com as well as a hashtag. And Dark Boy has some other details to share with you about how to get in touch with us. And then we'll close out the show.
Yes. So if you would like to send a letter. Now, next week, we will have Help a Brother Out. So if you would like to send a letter for Ask a Brista or Help a Brother Out, go ahead and send your email to sexualhealingpod@gmail.com. And we just may read your letter on the show.
If you want to be anonymous, go to the website, www.sexualhealingpod.com, which has also received a facelift. I think it looks pretty good myself. And, you know, you can check out the show notes in more detail there. You can see visual evidence of the blacklist going forward. And, you know, just some nice little things, some little add-ons. I try to make it look beautiful around there for people. But, yeah, so that's one way to reach out to us. We are on Facebook under Sexual Healing Podcast from top to bottom. We are on Twitter at PodSexual. And we're on Instagram at Sexual Healing Pod. And if you just happen to want to reach out directly to my crazy tale, you can email me or talk with me on Twitter at Dr. Pookie, P-O-U-Q-U-I-E, and that's at gmail.com. And that's also my Twitter at Dr. Pookie, all spelled out. So once again, if we touched you in a special way, I'm having issues. The fatigue. Reach out. Share us. Share us with a friend. Be sure to subscribe, rate, review. We want to hear from you. So there you have it.
All right.
All right. So that concludes episode 33, I believe, of the Sexual Healing Podcast. And we'll be back next week with episode 34, where we continue a discussion of sexual health, I believe, from a slightly different angle.
Yeah.
But yeah, so should be good. Looking forward to chatting with all y'all. Take care and have a wonderful hump day.
All right. Till next time, everybody.
Till next time, and keep that hump slick and moist. All right. I gotta put some filth in there. You know me.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, y'all.
Bye.